Today's daf is daf lamed, very top. We have a number of mishnayos, and we're going to be going through a lot of different structures and family trees, so let's take it slow. I think we had learned enough of Yivamos to be familiar and be able to go through it together. I don't think they're too complex, but let's see. The mishnah on the top says, Shlosha achim, so you have three brothers, shnai mehem nesun shtei achayos. Two of the brothers married two sisters. Ve'echad nasu nachris, and the third brother married someone else, another woman, not related. Meis echa mibali achayos. One of the brothers who married sisters had died. V'kanas nasui nachris es ishto. So the third brother who married another woman who wasn't related, he ended up marrying this widow, one of the sisters. Umeis, and then that brother died. So this third brother now died, who has now married to two women. Harishona. So his first wife, the Nachris wife, is Yote Mishum Achos Isha. So the first wife, let's see, he can't marry because... The oldest brother's wife, one of the sisters, he can't marry because this brother, the third brother who's now alive, is married to her sister. That's his wife. So he can't marry the other brother's wife because that's his wife's sister. And Shnia, the Nachris, the woman who's not related, he can't marry but that because Mishum Tsarasa, because she's the Tsara, the co-wife of his wife's sister. Okay. So but that should be, again, confusing, but that we all have seen in the past.
Yeah.
Now let's say Asa Bamaimer, Umes, Nachris, Choletzes Lo Misavemes. So let's say now who's doing Maimer here? So let's say the same guy, it's when the third brother's doing Maimer, right? So again, three brothers, two brothers married two sisters. One brother dies. This third brother, Levi, does Maimer to that widow. And then what happens is the other brother who married the sister, he himself died?
He died, two women left.
Levi himself died.
Right.
Okay, so
Levi. The third one that married to the Nochmitz.
So he's the one who dies.
Which has one sister and one Nochmitz now.
Okay.
So he died. And the third one, the live one,
No, there's only one Mimer in this case, right? Three brothers, right? We have three brothers. Brother one dies, who's married to two sisters. Levi, who marries the Nachas, he does Mimer to the widow of the sister, and Levi himself dies. So now Shimon, he's the lone brother alive. So what does he do? So he has to do Choletzes Lo Misavemes. So he doesn't do Chalitza or Yivim to his wife's sister, because that's not allowed. The question is Levi's wife, who is a Nachris, not related, but since Levi did Mimer to the other wife, she might be considered a co-wife of one who's Aser to him, right? It's a co-wife of the Achos Ishto. So since it's only Mimer is only Derbanon, Mirka, then you could really do Yibum. Shimon could really do Yibum to Levi's wife.
Mimer Bechet.
No, it wasn't Bechet. Because Levi married a Nachris.
But it's not allowed because it's Sarata of the sister.
No, but Levi wasn't married. Levi was married to a Nachris. So when Reuven dies, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven dies. Reuven and Shimon marry sisters.
So I understand differently.
That you're doing one more time. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Yeah. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters.
Yeah.
Reuven dies.
Yes.
Levi goes ahead. He hasn't married.
Nachris.
Marries. Mimer does Mimer to Reuven's widow. Mimer only to Reuven's widow.
I understand it differently.
But that's the case, though.
Okay.
That's the case, yeah. So then Levi dies after doing Mimer. So when he did Mimer to Reuven's widow, he built some relationship there. Now, what does that do to Levi's Nachris wife? Does that make her a tzara now to the widow of Reuven? That's the Shiloh. So now when Levi dies, Shimon cannot do Yibum or to Reuven's wife, because that's his wife's sister, but he can do Yibum to Levi's wife, who's a Nachris. But since Levi did the Mimer to Reuven's wife, it built a tzara, midrabanan, to Reuven's wife also. So since Shimon is also to Reuven's wife, he also is also midrabanan to Reuven's wife's co-wife, who happens to be Levi's Nachris. And that's why we force him to do Chalitza, but don't allow Yibam. Sorry if that was confusing. Yeah, I don't have a flow chart here. But okay, so the Gemara explains. So now, what's the reasoning? Taima David b'maimer, only because Levi did maimer to Reuven's widow, do we require Shimon to do chalitza to Levi's wife? Halo avid b'maimer, if Levi never did maimer to Reuven's widow, then the Nachris Yivum Minami Yivam Yavme. That means Shimon could do Yibum to Levi's wife. So if the case was Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Ruvain dies, Levi dies, nothing was ever done, so Shimon's certainly allowed to marry, do Yibum to Levi's Nachris. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Nachman, Zosemaris, this comes to teach us that Ein Zika, Vafil Bechad Acha. There's no Zika. Because if there were Zika, so then the moment Ruvain dies, we draw a line, a Zika line, from Ruvain's widow to Levi. Even without Levi doing any mimer, there's this line drawn. And once that line's drawn, that means Ruvain's wife and Levi's wife are now tsaros with each other. And then when Levi dies, just like Shimon can't be with Ruvain's wife, he also cannot be with Levi's wife because he's a tsara. In fact, we don't say that's true. The implication is that if there's no mimer done from Levi, there's no line drawn from Levi to Ruvain's widow, that means Shimon's completely mutter to be and do Yibum with Levi's wife because there is no Zika according to this Mishnah. Okay. Good. Somewhat. Great. So then the next Mishnah tells us that Shlosh Achim, three brothers again, Shnai Mehem Nisun Shtei Achayos, that two of them marry two sisters, Ve'echad Nasli Nachris, and again, the third brother, Levi, marries a Nachris. Same structure before. Now, Meis HaNasli Nachris, now Levi dies now. Ve'kanas Echad Mibale Achayos, and let's say Ruvain marries the wife of Levi, the Nachris, which is completely mutter. He does Yibum. As Isha Umes, and now after Ruvain performing Yibum with Levi's wife, now Ruvain dies. So what happens is, so Shimon stands in front of Shimon now, two wives. He has the wife of Ruvain, who's Asertim because it's his wife's sister, but he also has the wife of Levi, who is now the wife, or was the wife of Ruvain afterwards. So what's the halacha? The Mishnah explains. Harishona, the first one, Ruvain's wife, can't do Yibum Achalitza with Shimon. Yotes Mishim Achos Isha, because Ruvain's wife is the sister of Ruvain's wife is the sister of Shimon's wife, which is Aser. So that knocks off Ruvain's wife. And what about Levi's wife? Why is that Aser to Shimon? Ushnia, Levi's wife, Mishum Tsaras, because she's the co-wife now of Ruvain's wife, which is the sister of Shimon's wife. But let's say Aser b'maimer. So let's say the case again: three brothers, two brothers marry two sisters. Levi, who married a Nachris, dies, and then Ruvain doesn't perform Yibun yet, but Ruvain does maimer to Levi's wife, which we said creates a strength, some type of bond midirabanan. Umeis, and then Ruvain dies. So then what's the halacha? The Nachris chaletzes v'lo misavemes. And then after Ruvain dies, Mikra din Shimon really could perform Yibum with Levi's wife, because Ruvain never really married, never did Yibum with Levi's wife. Really, Mikra din Shimon's allowed to do Yibum with Levi's wife. But since Ruvain did some type of a mimer, it looks bad and looks like she's the tsara of Ruvain's wife, who is the sister of Shimon's current wife, and that's why we make him do Ruvain, Shimon rather, do chalitza to Levi's Nachris wife. Ha sulamli, why do we need this? Hainu hach, that was the previous case. What's the added chiddush here of the previous Mishnah? The Gemara, but
wasn't the previous case.
But the same yisod comes out.
Same characters.
Exactly. Same characters, but same principles also. Even though different people are dying in different orders, it's still the same basic principle of the idea of the mimer and then the yibum, right? I imagine Adam's probably thinking there's some difference here. No? Not yet. We'll see what the Gemara says. So, Hainuach, so Gemara says, Hashta, Mahasam, just, but there, the first Mishnah on the page, De'achos Isha, Haviat Sara Lenachris, that the sister, Ruvain's wife, becomes the co-wife of Levi's wife. The first case was where Levi married Ruvain's wife. So now, Levi's two wives are co-wives with each other. The Nachris and Ruvain's old wife, ex-wife, or not ex-wife, but his wife, his widow, are now co-wives with each other. That was the principle. That was the first case. So, Amris Nachris Asura. So he said that Nachris is now Asur also to Shimon. When Levi dies, Shimon's Asur to both wives of Levi. So, Hacha, here in our case, the Nachris Havit Tzara Lachos Isha L'Kol Shigen. Here now, it's Levi dies first, so the Nachris, Levi's wife, goes up to Ruvain, so they're also co-wives. So just like Ruvain's wife is also to Shimon, so to Ruvain's wife's co-wife, the Nachris Levi, will also be also to Shimon. So what's the difference? They're both the same idea, is that you have the idea of co-wives. When they're co-wives, they're both going to be also to Shimon. So the Gemara says, Tana hach tana b'resha, v'hach chazel hetera, v'shaya, v'havdach chazel yisura. First they taught this first b'risa, They first taught the first Braisa, first Mishnah. Which is the first one? I'm guessing the second Mishnah they taught first. Right? Rashi doesn't say, does he?
The English says the second.
Okay. They taught the second Mishnah first. V'ha chazia lehetera v'sharia. And then the previous case of the first Mishnah, they thought that was actually going to be mutter. That's what they initially had thought. They thought it was mutter. And they would not be an issue of co-wives at all. If the case was where if Reuven dies first and Levi marries Reuven's wife and then they're co-wives, they might have thought it was mutter. Why? Does Rashi explain the heter? Let's see, look at Rashi. Rashi's Ha Tana Bereisha. It's a little higher up than where we are in the Gemara. Mishnah Achrona, the second Mishnah, like we just said, Zu Shana Tchila. First they taught this Mishnah, the case where Levi dies first. Right, that's Levi dying first? Yeah. And then V'haydi La'el, the earlier Mishnah, Lo Havi B'dayta L'misne, they didn't want to teach the first Mishnah yet. Mishum Dechazel Etera, Hol V'nachus Ikra. Because the previous case is where Reuven died first. And then Levi married Reuven's wife. So since Levi's Ikra wife was V'nachus, we assume initially we thought that his Reuven's co-wife will not be affected by that at all. Since Levi's Ikra wife is mutter, and then Levi were to die, Shimon was allowed to marry Levi's Nachman's wife, because that was his Iker wife. The fact that he also married Reuven's wife was really very secondary. That's what they initially thought. And we would allow Shimon to marry Levi's Iker wife, his Nachman's. That's what they initially thought. But then the Gemara says, V'hadr chazer l'isur. Then they said, you know, that doesn't make so much sense. Who cares who he married really first? They're both going to be equal co-wives. So just like Shimon is not allowed to marry the co-wife, which was Reuven's initial wife, who is the sister of Shimon's current wife, so too he can't marry Levi's Nachor's wife. And then, again, V'hadr chazi le'isura, Gemara says V'aydi, so then he had to teach the second Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, why don't you teach the second Mishnah? So there's a kol shekhen to the first Mishnah. Let's remove the first Mishnah out of here, because you learn a kav v'chomer from the second Mishnah. So the Gemara says, V'aydi d'chavivi le'i akhtimei. So since it was chaviv to us, since it was such a great chiddush, they wanted to... such a chiddush, Rashi said, look at Rashi, Akhtime, Vesula Havitzarach L'Misnei Sefer. You don't have to teach a second case anymore. You can erase the second Mishnah. Elahol V'nishay Zlo Zuzum M'Koma, Gemara says. U'mishay Zlo Zuzum M'Koma. What happened was, they taught the second Mishnah was the first one that they had. And then they said, you know what? The first case is really the greater chiddush. So they made that one first in the order. So once you taught the first Mishnah, let's erase the second one, because the second one you could clearly learn from a Kal V'Chomer. The klal is, a Mishnah lo zazimim koma. We have this klal also in the beginning, Chagiga, Achokas Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel ends up agreeing to Beis Shammai about the case of Chatzi Evet Chatzi Ben Chorin. So the Mishnah Gemara says, just erase it. Once Beis Hillel is completely agreeing to Beis Shammai, why even record the opinion of Beis Hillel? The Gemara says, Mishnah lo zazimim koma. Now, interesting question, why? I'll tell you the reason why. Something I mentioned Matzah Shabbos, that I don't think I mentioned this point. The Tosa says that they used to sing Mishnayos to help remember all the Mishnayos.
I said
the Tiferes Yisrael and Erechin. I didn't say it. Right, exactly. Tiferes Yisrael and Erechin, Perek Dalad, right, based on this Mishnah in this Tosfos, that's how we explain Chasur Mechzeras and these types of inyanim of Mishal Zazman Koma. He doesn't use this actual phrase, but he talks about Chasur Mechzer. What's a Chasur Mechzer? We have the Mishnah, and the Gemara says it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, oh, you're missing something. Chasur Mechzer. You had to have these few words, and now the Mishnah reads well. So why wasn't it presented like that in the first place? Was there a mistake? There's so many mistakes. We have so many chasur mechzer, so many mistakes. He explains it was intentional because there was a certain rhythm that was necessary. So he left a few words out. You need to fit in a song. You need a certain structure to fit songs into the words. The lyrics don't fit. Every person makes up lyrics. You can't make lyrics before you make the song up. You need to know the tune, and the lyrics have to go well with each other. So the Mishnayos were made in a certain way with a certain structure to allow for songs to fit nicely. So here too also, perhaps, they used to memorize things. So once they memorize it, they say, you know what, forget that Mishnah. It's hard to really remove it from the memory once it was all memorized, so they left it in place.
Looks like in Gdusha everything goes.
What?
Looks like in Gdusha, Chazar Dashatz, everything goes.
When everything goes?
When Chazar Dashatz in Gdusha, all those melodies that, you know.
Oh, any melody. Everyone has to find their song. Okay, the next mission now. Shlosha Achim Shnai Mehen Nisun Shte Achayos. Three brothers again. Two married, two sisters. Echa Nasai Nachris. Okay, this is our basic structure. Three brothers, two sisters, one Nachris. Meis Echa Nibale Achayos. one of the brothers who married the sisters die. So let's say Reuven died. Reuven and Shimon married the sisters. So Reuven dies. The Kanas Nasoi Nachris. Now Levi marries Es Ishto. He marries Reuven's wife. Umesa Ishta Shel Sheni. Okay. Now Shimon's wife, who's still alive, Shimon's wife, who's one of the sisters, she dies. Okay, so now in theory,
we're left with one sister.
One sister, very exactly. One sister and one Nachris, who are both married now to Levi, by the way. Levi's married to the only sister alive and a Nachris. Then Shimon is now single. His wife is had passed away. Then what happens is, Acharkach Meis Nasei Nachris. Now Levi dies. So now what's going to happen is both wives are going to fall to Shimon. One's a Nachris, but one had been the sister of his wife who's now dead, though. So what's going to happen? So, Harezu Asura Alav. This is Asur to Shimon. Olamis, forever. Since there was a moment in time when Reuven initially died and his wife was available to be married, it wasn't mutter to Shimon because he was currently married to that woman's sister. So therefore, Reuven's wife was asur to him. Once that was asur, even though later on Shimon's wife dies, it's asur to him forever. It was called Eshes Ach.
So, say it again.
That when the moment Reuven died,
yeah.
So his wife now, there's Chiyuv Yibum on the brothers. Now, Shimon can't perform Yibum or Chalita because that's his wife's sister. So it became Asur to Shimon.
But his wife is dead.
Now it is. But then, the clouds, once there's a moment in time, there's a Chaloshe Misr forever for him. It's called Eshet Ach, and you can never change that anymore. So once there's a moment in time where she felt him, but there's an Isser, you can't be with her because you're married to her sister, so then that can never come back and be mutter to her. Now, in general, one should note, by a general case, if a person marries a sister, he can't marry her sister. But if his wife were to die, then he can marry her sister. It's different than this case because since there's a Yibum case, there was a Zika that's trying to come and pull him closer, her the wife closer, we said that's awesome. We're not allowing that to come through. That was a real issue that was established. The case of a regular situation where a person marries a woman, she dies, and then he can marry her sister. If there's no Zika that's trying to come in, we have to push back to create the issue. That's why there's a difference, I think.
And it's Sarah's mother.
That Sarah, in this case, I would imagine would be Usher.
It's like an Arab one?
Yeah, I thought so. Eshes Ach, I would think so.
No, it's Eshes Ach.
Yeah.
It should say that she's also Usher.
The Mishnah should say that.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying Zu Asura, it should say, whatever the plural is of. What would you say?
Elu,
there you go. Elu, right. Elu Asurim, that's what it should say. Am I incorrect or?
I guess both of them are in the
list. Yeah, okay, let's see. So, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Ko Yivama, She'ein Ani Kore Bat B'Shas Nefila Yivama, Yivala. Any Yivama who at the time when she falls, the time when she becomes a widow, we do not say Yivama Yivala, that the Yavam should be Mutter with her, meaning whenever we say it's Asur during the Shas Nefila, Harehu, Harehi, Keishas Ach. Sheish Labanim Vasura. We view her as a mamish and eshes ach, a brother's wife who has children, who is of course also. The only time a brother's wife is mutter is when there are no children. That's the only case of Yibum. When there are children, then the brother's wife is usher to the brother. So in this case, even though there are no children in the case after the brother dies, we view it as if it's an eshes ach with children and therefore mamish arayos. That's the klal of Rav.
Did they ever discuss the Gemara case that the woman cannot bring children?
Cannot bring children, what do you mean?
Cannot have
islands.
Huh?
We discussed islanders.
Islanders is a...
She cannot have children.
Still like...
So what's your case?
Regular lady that cannot have, a kara.
Right. So we...
Seems like that, because so many cases that no children, and it's that the brother died without children, and it's... a little bit untypical because,
But I'm saying, Akara, we don't know, unless an islandess and have the certain physical features that prove that she's not able to have it.
Just because a woman. Not an islandess.
Right, it's not. That's what I'm saying. So just because a woman didn't have children for 4 or 5 years doesn't mean she can't have children. There's still a possibility. An islandess, by definition, cannot have children. Whatever the.
I'm talking about islandess.
Right. So I'm saying, so your case of someone not having children, we're not going to say she's an Akara just because she didn't have children for 5, 6 years. She might still be able to have children.
Meaning that. Surprised how the Gemara doesn't discuss such a case that, okay, it happened, he died, he did Yibum, and still there are no kids, and maybe they bring a case. Oh, maybe this woman cannot have any kids forever, so maybe Mitzvah Yibum won't work here. That's what I think.
After the fact. After the Mafreyer thing, we see 15 years later, there's no children, so maybe initially she really was similar to an islandess or something. But, yeah. Yeah.
Like a case that's missing to my
we have plenty more to do. It might come up.
She only has one husband, then you don't know where the problem is.
No, the husband died.
Yeah, but she has no children. Why? Was it because of her? Was it because of him?
That's why he doesn't discuss it.
Okay.
So that's the kid who doesn't discuss.
Okay. Then the Gemara says, "My Kamashalon, what's the Chiddush? Tanina, we already have a Mishnah that taught us this klal. What's the Rav? What's he adding on to a Mishnah? What does the Mishnah tell us? Harezu Asura, this is the quotation, Alav Olamis. This was our mission that we just saw. That since at the moment when Reuven died, Shimon was ushered to marry Reuven's wife because that was his wife's sister, so that wife's sister will be ushered to him forever. That's the same exact thing as what Rav just said. So explains the Gemara, Mal the same, what would you have thought if you had the mission, our mission alone? Harni mili heichadilo achzile b'nefila rishona. It's only when it wasn't fit during the first rishona. Aval heichad ichzile b'nefila rishona. But maybe if it was fit during the first Nefila, but then a later Nefila, it may have been Usur, maybe there, according to our Mishnah, would be Mutter. Because our Mishnah is talking about the first moments of time. It comes along the Mishnah, tell us, comes along Rav and says, no, forever, any time where there was Usur for the Yavam and the Yavama, then it will be Usur Olamis. So what's the situation where initially they may have been Mutter, but later it would have been Usur? What's that case? So Rashi explains, let's look at Rashi, b'nefila rishona. Kozma nefila rishona ha'isa ishto kayemes shiachosa. So the first case is where Reuven dies, so then Shimon can't marry Reuven's wife because that's his own wife's sister. Avala, Rashi explains, heicha d'ichschaze b'nefila rishona. But when it was mutter during the first nefila, kigon, shemesa ishto achar misas achiv lo kansa nasoi nachris. So the situation where Shimon's wife dies after Reuven. So Reuven dies first, and then nothing was done yet, and then Shimon's wife dies.
Before the Yibam was performed with the third brother.
With Levi. So then maybe Shimon would be mutter to be to do Yibam with Reuven's wife, because it's no longer his wife's sister. Comes to tell us, it really doesn't depend on I'm not sure what the difference is. Either way, Shas Nefila is Usur.
It's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. It depends on Shas Nefila. It doesn't depend on the
What's the other option?
The fact that there was an episode of Isser Zekuka. In other words, she didn't complete her entire episode of Isser, of being in a state of Zekuka to Isser.
It's not Shas Nefila, so I'm confused. Say that again. That
the alternative is that It's only an issue if there was an entire episode of Isser that she was into him as Ashes, to his wife for the entire episode of being Zakuk, and she got married to the guy, and now there's a new episode of her falling.
In this case,
within that first episode, it just wasn't for Shas Nefila.
So you could define Nefila. It's a long Shas. Initially, we think it's a long Shas Nefila. From the time Reuven dies until the Yibam Chalitza is done, that's all Nefila. And there's a moment of time during that first Nefila that there's a head that we could find. We would allow Shimon, maybe. We thought the Havamina to allow Shimon to perform Yibam with Reuven's wife. But now we're saying, no, it all depends on the actual Shas Nefila, the moment of death. The moment of death, if the wife is Usur, even though Shimon's wife dies later on, it's Usur forever. Okay, very good. Then the Gemara says, that too is not a Chiddush. The Gemara says, Hanami Tanina, we also have a Mishnah that says this halacha as well, which appears in Tudaf apparently. Shnei Achin Nisun Shnei Achayos, two brothers marry two sisters. Meis Echamhem, one of the brothers die. V'acharkach Meis Ishto Shel Sheni. Then, so it's Reuven dies, and then Shimon's wife dies. So now all that's left is Shimon and Reuven's wife. And Shimon's wife happened to have been the sister of Reuven's wife, but now it's dead. She's dead. So the Gemara says, Harei zu asura lav olamis, hol v'nesra lav sha'achas. So Reuven's wife is also to Shimon because there's a Shah Achas. The initial Shas Nefila, when Reuven died,
she was Aser
to Shimon, so now Aser to Shimon forever. So what's Rav coming to add on? So the Gemara says, Mal the same, what would you have thought from the Mishnah Laman Beis? You would have thought the following. Hasamhu de Intechele Mehai Beis Lagamre. So Shimon's wife, sorry, Reuven's wife is Aser. She has no way to, there's no other brother right now, only two brothers. So she's done. There's no one to step into the shoes of Reuven. Well, Hacha here, in our case, there are three brothers. Delo Intechele Mehai Beis Lagamre. Reuven's wife is not completely removed from this whole family of brothers because Levi's still alive, so she's still holding on to something. And then, so we think since there's a possibility that Levi could, in theory, perform Yibum to Reuven's wife, and then Shimon's wife ends up dying, so Shimon's able to rehabilitate his ability to marry Reuven's wife, and we would allow that case. No, it's all about Shas Nefila for Shimon. Within Shimon's world, his relationship through Reuven's wife was usher the moment of death, and therefore usher forever, regardless of the fact if there's a third brother or not. Whew, okay. Each one's in its own world. Okay, ready for the next one? This is a lot. It's not fair. So many Mishnahs like this on one daf. Okay, next Mishnah. Shlosh Achim, three brothers, Shnai Mehem Nesun Shtei Achayos. Two brothers are married to two sisters, Ve'echad Nasoi Nachris, and one's married to a Nachris. So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Girish, okay, now we're getting a little bit more complex. We have some Girishin going on here. Girish Echad mi bale achayos es ishto. So Reuven divorces his wife, who is one of the sisters. Umeis nasoi nachris. So Levi decides to marry her, which is completely mutter. No, I'm sorry. He dies. So Reuven now dies. So then, no, meis nasoi nachris. I'm sorry. Meis nasoi nachris. Levi dies now.
Shimon divorced and Levi
dies. So right, Reuven divorced. Okay. Now Levi ends up, Levi dies. The Kansa Hamagarish, who's Reuven, he marries Levi's Nachris, Levi's ex-wife. Widow. That's what happened, no? So Reuven marries Levi's wife. Umeis. Now Reuven dies. Okay, everyone's still with me. I'm not sure if I'm with myself right now. So again, I'm doing this again for myself. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven divorces his wife, who was his sister. Levi dies. Reuven marries the Nachris. Okay. And then Reuven dies. So I imagine Shimon's going to perform Yibum with Reuven's current wife, who is Levi's Nachris. That's what I'm guessing. So Zuhi Shamu, this is what we have the klal. V'chulan Shemeso O Niskarshu Sarosein Mutaros. That what we say, that if they die or if they get divorced, you're mutter to marry the co-wives. So if Reuven were to die...
No. Divorced his wife.
Right. So after Reuven dies, so therefore Shimon can marry Reuven's current wife, even though Reuven had been previously married to a wife's sister, she died or she got divorced, she's out of the picture. So we don't view Reuven's current wife, who was Levi's old wife, as a tzara anymore. Now, I'm not sure why the fact that Levi is in the picture. Couldn't you have created the same case with just Reuven marrying someone else?
That's a good question, but at least she was waiting. This woman was at least potentially a yavam while he was still married to the wife, to the woman. I mean, this whole chiddush isn't really much of a chiddush.
Like, right.
What do you? They weren't married at the same time. Why would you think she was a tzara? Because she was standing by another brother at the time that this woman was a sister, was standing by Reuven before Reuven divorced her, at least gives you a little more of a havamina that when she ultimately travels through mm-hmm. to Reuven by Yibum, that you're going to somehow connect that to the prior marriage.
Okay, that previous relationship somehow connected somehow. Okay. So now the Gemara says, so this was a little bit complicated, but Taima digirish v'chakach meis, only because Reuven had divorced his wife, and then later, Reuven had died. Do we allow Levi's wife, who's now Reuven's wife, to be mutter to Shimon? Aval meis v'chakach girish. So, it must be the case if Levi dies first. If Levi dies, and I'm guessing then Reuven does Yibum with Levi's wife, and then Reuven divorces his first wife, who was a sister of Shimon's wife, Asura, then Reuven's wife, who was once Levi's wife, is going to be Asura to Shimon because there was a moment in time where she was married together while Reuven was married to the sister, and she does become a tzara.
Maybe he
divorced her before he married, before he did Yibum.
Right, so here, so I guess that we're trying to, the implication would be, I guess it has to be a case. Let's see if Darashi point this out. Let's see. So yeah, you're right that Rashi says even if Reuven doesn't perform Yibum, right? Even if Reuven, this simply is Zika alone. So what happens is, let's say Levi dies first, and there's a Zika drawn to Reuven and Shimon. Nothing done.
With the Nochrit?
The Nochrit, exactly. Drawn, a Zika is automatically drawn to both Reuven and Shimon. And then Reuven divorces his own wife. And then he dies. Then Reuven dies. Shimon's Aser.
He married. And then he marries. Then he does Yibum.
He divorces Nasa. First, you're saying. That's Rashi's. He divorces
Nasa.
First.
Then he does Yibum
to Levi's Nachris. And then Reuven dies, I guess. So then
he'll be Aser
to Shimon. The Nachris will be Aser because there was a moment in time where she was somewhat co-wived to Zika with Reuven's wife, who was his sister. Okay.
Why was he allowed to marry her in the first place as a Yibama? Because she was also a co-wife with Shimon. She was also a Yibama to Shimon's sister.
No, but Levi's Nachos was only a Tzara to Achos Ishto.
Levi's was a Tzara, was a Zakuka.
Zakuka, right.
Zakuka to Achos Ishto.
Right.
But just like she was a Zakuka to Achos Ishto, when she ultimately gets down to Shimon, at the time when Reuven married her before he divorced his wife, at the time he did Yibum Reuven, she was a Zakuka to Achos Ishto of Shimon in the first place.
Right. So I guess Zakuka Achos Ishto allows, creates a Tzara, but doesn't preclude the possibility of Yibum. If they say something like that, I guess.
Right.
All these questions of Zakuka is like, how thick is a line drawn? You know, is there a line? And is it a dotted line? Is it a narrow line? Is it a thick line? What is it creating? So it's enough to create a tsara that there's a relationship between the co-wives, but not enough to disallow the Yibum process. Okay. My head's spinning here.
Yeah, that's more question.
So Amar Rav Ashi, we've been saying that Friday. Amar Rav Ashi. I'm lost, David. You should take this one over right now.
Sure.
So Amar Rav Ashi. Zos Ameris. Yesh Zika. So what's saying here is that isn't this a case where there are two brothers who, after Levi dies, there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon? So this implies that there's Zika. Even though they're two brothers, we draw these two lines, a Zika line, to both Reuven and Shimon. That's what we learn from this. Rav Ashi, Kashid Rav Nachman. Now, we have a question according to Rav Ashi from Rav Nachman. Who's Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman told us above, we learned from the Mishnah earlier on the page, that ain't Zika at all. There's no Zika. So within these consecutive Mishnayos here, there seems to be a stira, that one has one extreme, there's no Zika at all. And this Mishnah is the opposite extreme. Not only is there Zika, but there's even Zika when they're two brothers, which we said is not necessarily true. In general, we have three opinions by Zika. No Zika, there's Zika if there's one brother, but no Zika if there's two brothers. There's Zika even if there are two brothers. So these two Mishnayos, consecutive Mishnayos, I guess almost consecutive Mishnayos, have two opposite extremes. So Amar Lechar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi explains, Hu Adin, Daf Agav Delavid B'Maimer, Nachritz Michlatz Chalitz Yivumulo Miyavme. Rashi says, I guess going back to explain the Mishnah all the way above, that even if there never was done Mimer that was done to the Baal Nachritz, we would still say Chalitz and no Yibum. So let's go back to the case. What was the first case in the Mishnah on the page? First case was three brothers, two married two sisters, one married Nachritz. Reuven dies, and Levi marries Reuven's wife, and then Levi dies. So we say Shimon can't marry either of Levi's current wives. He can't marry the wife who was once Reuven's wife because that's his own wife's sister, and he can't marry Levi's wife because that's a tzara. Now let's say Levi does Maimer to Reuven's wife. So then we said do Chalitza. You can't do Yibum, you have to do Chalitza. And why? What was the, why is that true? So the Gemara was Medayik, if he didn't do Maimer, if there's no Mimer done, so then Reuven could have done Yibum to Nachris. Because since no Mimer was done, so again, the case, if it's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Reuven dies, and then Levi dies before anything's done, Shimon can do Yibum with the Nachris. Because there was never a Zakuk, there's never a Zika to any, there's no Zika this way to Levi at all. So Rashi says no. Rashi says even though the Mishnah says particularly a case of Maimer, even if there was never Maimer done by Levi, still there was a Zika drawn from Reuven's wife to Levi automatically. Ah, so if there's a Zika drawn from Reuven's wife to Levi, shouldn't that make an Isser of Levi's Nachris? Shouldn't that be a Tzara to Reuven's wife if there's a Zika drawn? So explain to Ravashi, I'm like Ravashi, who adin da'afa gavdi lo avid b'maimer. Even if Levi never did Maimer, it would still be Chalitza, only Chalitza would be permitted from Shimon, because Nachris Michas Chalitza Yivum lo Yivami. We still would have said that. Why? Because there is Zika according to Ravashi. We have this automatic Zika. So why did the Mishnah present the case of Maimer only? Ha mitikasani Maimer. So why did they say Maimer? La fuke beishamai. To exclude the opinion of Beishamai, damar Maimer Kona, because Maimer held Kona Kinyan Gamor, because Beishamai was of the opinion that created a full Kinyan Gamor. And if it was a Kinyan Gamor, we wouldn't even require Chalitza at all. Kamash Blah, no, that the Lok Beishamai, we do not passing like Beishamai. So again, using Maimer in the case was to exclude the extreme of Beishamai, but not to exclude the less extreme if the case where there was no Maimer. Even if there is no Maimer, there still would be Chalitza, because Ravashi understands that there is a issue of Zika here. That's all within the world of Ravashi of there being Zika. But now, what about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman, who held in the first Mishnah that there is no Zika, and no Maimer was done, then Shimon will be Mutter to do Yibum with Levi's wife. Kasha to Ravashi, how is he going to explain this last Mishnah? Okay, what's the last Mishnah again? How do we get back into this world of the last Mishnah? Where this seems to imply that there is Zika in this last Mishnah. Because even in a case where nothing was done, again, three brothers, two married sisters, and then Levi dies, and then...
For Reuven's Megarish's wife.
And then Reuven's Megarish's wife, and then Reuven dies, and then Reuven marries Nachris, and then Reuven dies... So then we say that Shimon is usher to be with them, with Reuven's wives, because there is a Zika that was there, which created the co-wife relationship of Reuven's ex-wife and Reuven's current wife of Levi's Nachus. Okay. So that case, according to Rav Nachman, how is he going to explain this case if he doesn't hold of Zika in this Mishnah? Maybe he's going to say, no, even if Levi dies and then Reuven divorces his wife, his first wife, who was a sister, and then still we would say that the Nachris would be mutter to Shimon. So once we say Amru Zu, the Mishnah said Zu Amru, what's Zu coming to exclude? Mai Lemute Kanas V'Charkach Girish. Maybe it's coming to exclude a case of if Reuven first married the Nachris, and then he divorced his first wife, who's a sister, maybe that's the case it's coming to exclude. Then Shimon would be ushered even to the Nachris of Levi. Right? That makes sense? Yeah? Sound?
Why do you
right.
That?
It seems right. Obvious. So Hanicha Isavarla Ki Rabbi Yirmiya Damar Tavar Mishasana Zulo Shishana Zu. It makes sense if you hold like Rabbi Yirmiya, the one who taught this Mishnah doesn't teach this Mishnah. V'hai tana savar misim apelas, v'hai tana savar nisun erishun mapilim. Wait, I'm a little lost right now. I see there's a long introduction here. You got it, David?
This is the hardest daf.
This is the hardest daf, yeah?
More than the...
It's possible. What?
More than testament advice.
Okay, let's look at Rashi.
My Rashi was from Yosiyam.
So the Gemara says, "Anicha isaver la Rav Nachman k'Rabbi Yirmiya damar b'perek kama ki Rav Minan hamasisin dezuhi dimimait knas v'asof gerish ahi tikatani v'kulanim niskarshu taros and mutaros." Afagav the kadosh v'asof gerish v'amar Rav Yirmiya tavru chule. I'm not getting back. I know here in the Masifta has a very long introduction here to this next section here. Not very long. It's a long paragraph, though. Okay. So maybe I'll read through it. We'll see what we're doing with time. We have 10 minutes left, so it doesn't look so great for today, finishing the daf. Let me go through this. I'll read out loud what's going on here. We learned in the mission above. I'm reading probably a similar thing in the article, the Hebrew introduction to this next section we're about to go into. The mission above.
We're going to the next mission?
No. The next part has an introduction. It's referring back to the mission of Beis HaMikdash. That a Yavam, whose daughter was married to his brother. You have two brothers, and one brother's married to his own brother's daughter, which is okay, to his niece. The person's married to his niece. And he had another brother, another wife as well. The uncle who married the niece had a co-wife. He ended up divorcing his niece, and then he ends up dying, the brother. So the brother is mutter to marry the co-wife. Fine. So from that mission appears that we go based on Shas Misa. Whenever the brother dies, whatever the current wife's situation is, that's the halacha. Then the Gemara said, ask from our mission right now that it's only mutter to marry the Nachris if at the time of Bia he already had divorced, or only Reuven divorced his first wife, the sister, and then he married Levi's wife, Nachris, and then Reuven were to die, it would be mutter. But if he married Levi's wife first and then divorced her, it wouldn't be mutter, which sounds like it's not Shas Misa. It could be. It has to be. They can never be married at the same time. Can never be married at the same time. That has to be the situation. That was the question the Gemara asked earlier in Daf Yud Gimel. Whoever remembers, I don't remember. And the Gemara answered the following: Machlokas Amaroyim. That Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the Mishnayos argued two different opinions of the Mishnayos. You're right. There's a steer of Mishnayos. One person authored it Beis HaMikdash, and another Tana authored the Mishnah here in Daf Lamed. That's how Rabbi Yirmiyah answered. Okay, so now within Rabbi Yirmiyah for a second. So within Rabbi Yirmiyah, everything makes sense. The one who taught this one did not teach the other Mishnah. How do we bring that into play right now? Right, exactly. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah right now, how the person who holds our Mishnah right now, it all goes, depends on Shas Nisuin, whether they're married together. And the Mishnah earlier all depended on Shas Misa. Ela the Gemara says, Isavar la Kirava. If you have like Rava, Damar Lolum Chatanahu, no, the author of Beis HaMikdash is the same author of Daf Lamed. Vizu, Vein Tarach Lomar Zu Katani. So, no, you needed both cases here. Now, you needed both cases. You said this one, and you said that one also, even though they're both unnecessary. So, you had a different way of getting around this problem here. So, Zu Lemute Mai, what's it coming to exclude?
Case of Kanas Lubasov Girish, according to Rava, is not going to be a problem. Because according to Rava, it's all based on Shas Nefila.
And that.
And Shas Nefila, even if you're Kanas Lubasov Garash, as long as when the moment of Yibum came, there was
no circle, right?
So then it's Mutter. It's perfectly Mutter. Uh-huh,
very
so
bad.
What's the Chiddush that we said before, according to Rav Nachman, in order to answer Rav Nachman before?
So what's he? How is he going through? What's the zoo coming? Which case is it coming to exclude? So Gemara says Al Karchach Rabbi Yirmiyah. We're forced into a corner. We have to pass like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rava has a question. With Rava, even within Rava, Hanicha Isavar La Kravashi. What if he holds like Kravashi? Zoo who he lemute mai is coming to exclude a mace below Giresh. Al Isavar La Krav Nachman. Zoo who he lemute mai. Savar La. So since we have another stira against Rava, against Rav Nachman, we're forced into following Rav Ashi. So the Gemara basically says it's two big kashas, and we have to pass like both Rabbi Yirmiyah, and within Rava we have to pass like Rav Ashi, and that's how we get out of it. Okay, let's make an attempt. We have 6 minutes to do this next Mishnah. It looks maybe a little bit easier than what we did before. So the Gemara Mishnah says as follows. Okay, hopefully we're almost done with all these different family trees. We are almost done. I think by the fourth parak, it's different stuff. Yibum Chalitza, but not any more family trees. The Mishnah says, V'chulan shehayu behen kedushin o gerushin besafek. Any wife who had a kedushin or a gershin b'safek, and the Mishnah is going to tell us an example. We're not sure if they're married, or we're not sure if they're divorced. We're not sure if either way, the same status is true. We don't know if they're married or not. But the b'safek is either the initial kedushin was b'safek, or the gershin was done b'safek. Hare elu hatzaros choltos v'lo misyamos. So let's say they got divorced, or safek divorced, a wife who is an erva to a brother, to safek. If he completely divorced this woman who was an erva to the brother, then the co-wives would be mutter to the brother. And if he did not divorce this woman, then in addition to being an erva to the brother, the tzaros would also be usher to the brother. But now it's a case of safek. We're not sure whether they're still married or not married. So, and he dies without having a complete divorce. So then the brother has to only do chalitza to the tzara, but cannot do yibum at a safek. So the Mishnah says, ketat safek kedushin. What's a case of safek kedushin? So the Mishnah says, Zarek la kedushin, safek karav lo, safek karav lo. He throws her a kedushin, very, very romantic. He throws it over to her. But they're not sure if it's closer to him or closer to her. If it's closer to him, it never left his rishus. It was not a kedushin. If it was closer to her, then it was a kedushin. It's a safek, so we're not sure if they're married. What's the case? Zehu safek kedushin. Safek gershin. Same idea. Kasav b'ksav yad, though he writes a get for her. Vein alav edim. There's no edim on it. Or yeshal of edim, there are edim, vein bozman, there's no zman. These things are suffic, whether or not, I guess, it's going to be a good get. Yesh bozman, if there's time, vein bo el edacha, there's only one aid. Hareze, zehu, suffic yerushin. These are examples of suffic kedushin. Rashi probably goes through all the gemaras in Gittin, which explain why these cases are sveikos. All these cases are suffic derabanim, Rashi says?
That's what I remember. Vein
bozman. Uh-huh. Okay, David suggests we stop?
Yeah, because it's just to run to wait again.
Okay, all right, so we'll call it a day here. Everyone have a good day.